Welcome to the One Speed MMA Podcast with yours truly, Flying Smitty.
Carson Wood.
As always, Carson Wood over there, not saying much.
Yeah, huh? Said my name.
What else do you want? Say my name. I want you to say my name when no one is around you.
What?
I want you to say, baby, I love you. Why are you running games?
Nah, man, I'm not saying that. Will not.
How dare you not match me on Grindr? I don't get it. All right. There's a lot of news. 5 minutes ago, you told me there's not that much news going on right now, and you don't know what's going on. But
I did not say there's not that much news. I said it's going to be a slow podcast because I don't have opinions about anything.
Oh, you have opinions about everything.
Let's see about it. What do I have an opinion about?
War Machine found guilty on 29 charges in the Christy Mack assault case.
Well, I mean, our opinions have been pretty worn out on that. I mean, the conviction doesn't really change it.
Wow.
He did. I did read this, though, when I was waiting for my classes, that he did go by his... That was, like, the one bit of news that I did have. The other ones, you said the top four stories. We're going to go over those. I don't know what they all are. But he did go by his real name. Cool.
Which is, like, some super weird name, right?
It's, like, Jonathan Paul...
No, it's...
Copenhagen.
Yeah.
It's Copenhaver like or something like that. But yeah. Yes, it's, like, Jonathan Paul Copenhaver or something.
I think War Machine's a much cooler name. But, yeah, no, we went around a bunch of this. However, there's one interesting fact about this case that I think is super funny. So Diz on Twitter basically covered the entire case. And apparently the defense did just... I mean, obviously, there's no defending this scumbag. But apparently the defense did a terrible job. And they tried to use a picture of her... giving him fellatio as showing that it was that everything that was going on was not, there was no rape at all ever, that it was consensual. And it's like,
did he actually rape her though?
Yeah, she claimed
that
rape.
Day.
I
or
believe
is
so.
It yeah, past accounts?
I think it was past accounts and before he beat the crap out
of
her.
I'm not shaming rape victims if anybody's... This is legitimate news to me. Like I honestly don't know. I'm not questioning it. I'm asking, did it happen? Because I've not heard that.
As far as I understand it, there were... Leading up to it, there were several times where she was so scared that he basically was able to take advantage of her or rape her. And then the same day that he just beat her senseless and put her in the hospital and almost killed her and threatened to kill her, he had also raped her earlier that day.
Ugh.
Or like leading up to it. Yeah. No, I mean, it's just a terrible situation. And they basically tried to show a picture of... So not only were like the worst case scenario, they're trying to show pictures that could have been forced anyway to prove that it was consensual. And it's like, yeah.
I don't want this to come off the wrong way at all, which I feel like it was a very traumatic situation.
It got dark quick on this podcast.
But, it may be not, but I would assume in her line of business, she's a much more resilient woman. I hope this doesn't stick with her. It very well could affect her in the long term forever, and it probably will, but I hope that she's a little bit more used to stuff like that, seeing images of herself that way, and she can stand in front of them and be like, that's bullshit. What you're saying is terrible. And I doubt she actually got on the stand, but...
No, she did.
Did she?
Yeah, not that day. So
but
she was cross-examined and apparently... I don't know exactly what happened, but apparently she did a really good job representing herself. She cried while on the stand and so on and so forth, but them showing some of the pictures and stuff that happened, like, he beat her to an inch of her life and she had to run to her neighbor's house in order to get help. Like... The whole situation is just absolutely awful. They tried to use brain trauma and steroid use as a defense as well as, I mean, which that to me makes sense. None of this makes sense, but like, yes, brain trauma and steroid use, but also, what was the other thing? Drug use or something like that basically put him in an altered state. And that's why this happened. He would have never done it before. But it was an altered state. And then they basically proved like that it had happened
also,
on several occasions.
They might have just, they probably should have just blamed it on 4chan.
Yeah.
4chan's worse than CTE.
The people from 4chan finding all of his information and sharing it publicly. Speaking of 4chan, digressing completely and getting into a much lighter conversation here that has nothing to do with MMA. Shia LaBeouf, did you ever see that? we stand against or whatever it was.
He will not divide us.
Yeah, he will not divide us.
It's like, I think, the theater of the moving arts.
Yeah, it was supposed to be live at all times. Then whoever did whatever they wanted to do could do it in front of the camera. It was always on. Well, apparently they had to move that two or three different times. Mm-hmm. And then they ended up putting it in like a hidden location. And 4chan, distinguishing flight patterns and migratory patterns of birds, figured out where the freaking flag was, where they were putting it, and went and took it down and took his flag.
It's amazing.
4chan, man, is just...
It's probably their fault
the funniest thing ever.
It's probably their fault that those misogynists, that's probably their fault that Amy Schumer's been getting terrible reviews.
Yeah, it's
Did 4chan. You see that thing?
I just saw that Netflix, it was a one-star review.
It is the worst special that I've ever heard.
You actually watched it?
Yeah. Well, Steven Crowder had given it a poor review. And so Paul, like, he usually watches anything that's on Netflix, like a Netflix special.
Yeah.
Because he's actually interested in it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and he's like, yeah, I saw the Steven Crowder thing. And I was like, I didn't want to watch his full thing because Crowder was a stand-up comedian too.
Yeah.
And they've gotten heated in the past on Fox. They were both on the Red Eye together. And I was like, I don't want to have my opinion tainted. So we watched about 45 minutes of it, jumping through from time to time. It is literally 45 minutes of "My vagina smells bad and you're a bad person if you do not go down on me." About 45 minutes of that. It's terrible. And it's probably 4chan's fault. And it's actually, I'm a misogynist. That's why I didn't like it. And also 4chan's fault for creating groups of people to go and just downvote it. It's definitely not because it was terrible comedy.
Did she blame it on 4chan?
They blamed it on misogyny, yes, 100%. Watch any... For your own opinion, I need you to just go on Netflix and watch any section of it.
I hope to never turn the 4chan audience against me, ever. Because they're worse than Anonymous, because Anonymous has like this self-righteous, like, we're doing this for the best of society. 4chan's like, hey, we should ruin that person's life. And they're like, yeah, okay. I've got nothing else to do for the next week of my life.
They convinced that one kid to burn himself alive, and he was live streaming it like under his bed. And then they eventually somebody like had I can't remember the exact story, but they eventually got like compassion or something and called the fire department. And
well, I was watching I was listening to Sword and Stone or Sword and Scale, and they talked about
Sword and Stone.
Archimedes was there turning into owls and stuff.
No cheating.
Until 4chan convinced him not to do it. Anyway, and they talk about the freaking cam girl that they were like, hey, you should show us your medications. And then they tracked her down by her freaking doctor, and then they got her address, and then they took all of her pictures and videos and shared them with her family. Like, what in the world?
This is why we have MMA, is to beat up these people.
Yeah, and those people exist to troll MMA fighters so they can't defend themselves, nor can they take the scrutiny of a bunch of random internet trolls.
The one thing, do you ever watch Chris Reagan?
Mm-mm.
Combining everything together, he had a pretty interesting point that the whole "he will not divide us" is just, he's like, it was the worst idea in the world, and then I realized it was the absolute best. It is going to be 4 years of shitposts. It's like a live action, just 24/7. Shit post-a-thon, and it's just going to be just terrible thing after terrible thing. But apparently they took it down again.
Yeah, they had to move it like 3 or 4 times. And then 4chan discovered where it was and took the flag.
We should just start our own promotion, like MMA promotion, and just use their streaming service to broadcast it. I don't know how we would make money in that case, but we should do it.
So how did 4chan, War Machine even get on 4chan to begin with? Hey man, they're talking shit on you on 4chan.
I think
you should check it out.
Shit, and then it got out, and like I think they started like messaging. We didn't look that up real quick.
They started finding his information. So they probably found his cell phone number or something.
And then he started punching himself in the head. And then the wall.
Yeah, man. Society.
It's funny because I hate both parties in that.
I mean,
if 4chan is asking, I love them.
We have absolutely no problem with 4chan or anyone associated with it. Yeah. The best part about the Sword and Scale guy was like, I was on it and I was part of it watching the social experiment. And he's like, and then it went too far. and it got really, really bad.
Why did I just say porn star girlfriend in front of everything? She's not even like a porn star anymore. Like every news story says that.
Yeah, after she was beat within an inch of her life, I don't think she's been back to any of it. And I don't even think, yeah, who knows? I don't. I think it's clickbait, man. If they use her name, only certain people are going to know who she is. But if they use porn star, then way more people are going to click on it. It's just like when PewDiePie, man, was freaking kicked off of Maker Studios. They didn't say Maker. They said Disney because they wanted everybody to freaking click on it because it said Disney, not Maker. So it's just, yeah, clickbait, man. Clickbait articles. And MMA is just as bad at it, using Conor McGregor for everything. What, you find it?
They're the type of internet you don't look in the eye. They're also the type of internet that can ruin your day with extreme prejudice, as War Machine found out, and he decided to get aggressive with people making crass remarks about his lady friend on Twitter. So that's what they did. They got on his Twitter page, and they were getting the group together on 4chan and going to his Twitter page, which is not any investigative research that you have to do on that. You can find it.
To his Twitter, yeah.
One thing led to another, and well, why don't we let Anon fill you in on the story? Puts the picture of everything that happened and goes, yes, ladies and gents, War Machine got so mad at dudes on the internet, he punched himself in the face to keep from murdering them.
You can't murder people you can't find.
To keep from murdering, excuse me, it did not say them.
Okay.
Just murdering in general.
Just in general.
Can we just put him and Aaron Hernandez, like, fight to the death?
Thiago Silva, who almost killed his wife, who's now fighting again because someone decided to say, freaking Cody, what's his face, the heavyweight that...
Did you hear the worst story ever? This has gotten dark, and we'll go back to
it. Should we share it on the podcast?
Well, we just talked about Thiago Silva. It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, but he's fighting again. Someone decided to pay that dude money.
This is pretty much same nationality. Same scenario almost.
What does that have to do with his nationality?
But different sport.
All right, let's hear it. Soccer?
Yep.
Okay.
So the keeper, like, who was this up-and-coming prospect, paid for his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, he's playing again. Yeah. Keep going. Yeah, so
paid for his, I think, wife or girlfriend to be tortured, murdered, and then fed to dogs.
Yep.
Now that he got out of jail, some soccer team picked him up.
Yeah, it was like 7 years in jail, and now he's playing goalie again.
I doubt he actually sees the field, to be clear. I bet the backlash is so bad. I bet it doesn't happen.
I hope that 4chan, go get him. Get him, 4chan. Yeah, man. Yeah, just awful. Now let's talk about something good, man, because...
You told me about the headlines. Bring
so
up headlines.
Freaking dark. We're getting into UFC freaking London, which was an absolutely amazing card. The main card, of course, was awesome. Absolutely awesome. The undercard was all right, even though a lot of them went to decision. They were still
super
good.
I hadn't
really
seen anybody sink in a choke like Gunnar did. It was like a rear naked, but it was like with the leg.
When someone's knocked out, it's not necessarily hard to choke them out.
Well, he wasn't completely knocked out, and I mean,
he was pretty gone, though.
It seemed pretty secure, though. It seems like if you can get it, that's the way to do it, because like even if he would have come to, there was no way he was getting his head out of there.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, he had whenever somebody's limp, you can get perfect form in a choke. For those who don't know, Gunnar Nelson caught him. Jobane started to go down. He did a head kick, and when you watch the fight, you can actually see the hesitation in Gunnar, where he looks at first he's going to start throwing uppercuts and just punching him in the face, and then he ends up going for the choke instead. And afterwards, in his post fight interview, he said that he didn't want to do any more damage to his face so he could keep his modeling career. And as funny as that is, I don't think Gunnar Nelson really tells a lot of jokes. I think he's kind of a pretty, like, straightforward and honest dude. I think he knew it was funny. But when you watch him, I think he has that Brazilian jiu-jitsu attitude where it's like, cool, I'm going to do as little damage as possible. I'm not going to do any more damage than I need to finish this fight.
And so no jiu-jitsu practitioners at AKA.
They just blow knees, though. Exactly. And that's only their own teammates.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
You can't lose if you never make the fight.
That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no jiu-jitsu practitioners there. They're all injuring each other.
Yeah.
If jiu-jitsu was hard, it'd be called sambo. Isn't that what he says? Or is it kenpo?
Something like that. Which when I thought it was the other way around with Khabib, right?
He said if it was hard, it would be.
If jiu-jitsu was hard, it'd be sambo.
Or if it's sambo was easy, it would be called jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, one or the other. Yeah.
Yeah, him and Damian should have a fight and not hurt each other ever.
Maya would submit him super quick.
You know that.
Khabib would take him down and
freaking Maya. No, not Khabib.
Gunner. Oh, Gunner? Oh, it's already happened.
I know, but they should do it again.
No.
In a jiu-jitsu match.
Because Maya would beat him again.
Jiu-jitsu match.
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu match. No kicks. No
punches. There wasn't any. Go watch the fight again. It was a jiu-jitsu match.
Won it again, but actual jiu-jitsu rules. Edgy Brav.
EBI, yeah. Yeah. So, Amir Khani lost his first fight. Allen looked really good. It was actually a super fun fight. Looked really good. Went to decision. Split decision. There are a lot of split decisions on this card. And I think that's kind of how it should have been. Pickett and Vera, man. Did you watch this?
Part of it. On TV, let me see most of the highlights because I was at work.
Yeah. So, Pickett was winning most of this fight. Vera knew he was going to come out aggressive trying to finish the fight. And he freaking head kicked him, man. Finished him. And it was kind of an early stoppage, but Pickett was, his eyes rolled into the back of his head. His
you know what to do, Pickett. Do, give Justin what he wants.
He retired.
Good job, Pickett.
We knew it was his last fight going into this.
Good job, Pickett. Don't back out.
Manoa Anderson was freaking amazing as well. Anderson started freaking circling to the to Manoa's left, and he caught him with that freaking left hook and just dropped him. And I think Manoa before the fight was actually, I think Corey Anderson was the favorite, which didn't make any sense to me. I don't think Manoa beats Gustafsson. I don't think Manoa beats Anthony Johnson or Daniel Cormier, but I think those are all fun fights. He already lost to Gustafsson once, but I think it would be fun to watch him and freaking Anthony Johnson fight each other.
He also lost to Hua.
Manoa did, huh?
Hua's.
Yeah. So I want to discuss this with you, actually, and you will have an opinion on this. Cards like this that don't seem, right, with quotations, air quotations that I'm doing right now, don't seem like they're going to be that impressive, end up being super, super fun fights. And then you have cards like UFC 208, which was GDR versus Holm, Anderson versus Derek Brunson, Souza versus Bosch, Teixeira versus Jared Cannonier, Dustin Poirier versus Jim Miller, right? Looks like it's going to be an awesome card. Every one of them is a decision except for freaking Ronald or freaking Souza versus Bosch. Even all of the undercard were all decision. And you look at it, Bilal Muhammad versus Randy Brown, Wilson Hayes versus Ulka Sasaki. I mean, these all look like they're going to be good cards or good fights, and they all in decision. And it was one of the probably most boring cards I've ever watched. And it looked in ahead of time like it was going to be absolutely amazing.
What's your question?
And it sucked. So, do you think UFC cards with something to prove or cards with people that aren't main big names are more exciting or a lot more fun sometimes than the cards like UFC 200 or UFC 208 that are supposed to be huge?
Do I think that they are?
Yes.
Yeah, but I think the majority of the time, the smaller cards are not going to be that good.
I feel like the last several cards that I have watched that were smaller cards, that were fight nights or that
Hidalgo.
Were...
Hidalgo? Salt Lake?
Salt Lake had its, but I think that's a little bit different. I got to think of the other ones that we just watched where I was like, that was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
No, they're
going to
be, they're going to occasionally be better, but I think the vast majority, give me the names, the gravity of the belt on the line. Give me the
I mean,
chance
even freaking Gaslam, freaking UFC Fortaleza. And this card were both better than freaking Woodley versus Thompson too. I mean, that card, I mean, Venata Timur was really good, but Evans Kelly sucked. Cavillo freaking Cooper wasn't that great. And Overeem Hunt was actually really good. So, I mean, that was half and half. But I feel like Belfort versus Gaslam, which wasn't that supposed to be that good, was really awesome. 208.
So we talked about this before. Do you care more about narrative or do you care about, or do you care about the highlight?
I care about the highlight. I mean, I like narrative, and narrative definitely runs the sport and moves the sport forward. Because Cormier versus Johnson 2, where Cormier won the first one and then the next card fell through, and whoever wins is going to fight John Jones. Like, that's a big narrative, and that's going to bring a lot of people to watch this. But I would have watched it anyway. I couldn't care less about the narrative. I mean, well, no, okay, I take that back. When I say I couldn't care less, yes, the narrative helps. I don't care who wins out of Cormier Johnson 2. Don't care. And this narrative, I don't care about. Conor versus Nate 3, I don't care about. Conor versus Nate 2, I only cared about because I didn't care about it until day of. And then I was like, okay, I'm actually pretty excited about this. Woodley versus Thompson 2, I was excited about that. Khabib versus freaking Ferguson, that storyline, I was super excited about that. But neither of those delivered.
Yeah, but
Daniel Cormier versus Anderson Silva didn't deliver. There was no storyline, but it was still a fun fight. Didn't deliver.
Well, there was no narrative, like you said, though. That one doesn't really count because there was literally no narrative to it. Other than, I mean, Jones falling out, but that's not like fabricated narrative for the division. There's literally nothing behind that. That was all spectacle. It's spectacle versus narrative. And obviously you want a blend of both of them, obviously. But you need narrative to set up spectacle.
Bisping versus Henderson too? Couldn't have cared less.
Narrative on that one was very important.
Yeah.
If he throws an H-bomb. Oh, see, narrative sets up spectacle. So, like,
I agree.
Connor beating Nate. And I guess there wasn't really any, like, spectacle there. But
the first one was spectacle. Connor stayed in. Nate dropped down.
No, that's not. I was saying, I guess they did narrative there that set up the spectacle that we got the submission. They were talking. It was Nate Diaz in Stockton having to go against an away crowd in his home state. I mean, there's a lot of narrative to it. But the things that I think about most, narrative set up spectacle. And so I still prefer narrative in the hopes that both of them come together. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Perfect example, pretty much the 155 division from BJ Penn to Pettis getting the belt for the first time after he beat like that. But specifically the trilogy between Gray Maynard and Frankie Edgar is more important narrative that met spectacle.
What I think Dominic Cruz versus Cody Garbrandt is narrative, right? Cody Garbrandt worked his way up. Dominic Cruz had won the belt back. You know, it was building up to that. So this leads perfectly right into another discussion that we can have right now. Chael Sonnen versus Wanderlei Silva at Bellator 180.
Woo!
On pay-per-view. Do you spend money on that? Would you spend money on that?
Yeah, actually, I would. Narrative drives that one.
But it's also spectacle because both of them are beyond.
Narrative is way more important to me on that one.
So do you think Chael Sonnen has an easier time with Wanderlei Silva than he did with Tito Ortiz?
Easier time? I actually think he gets clipped and knocked out.
You think?
Yep.
So Wanderlei comes out crazy. Well, Chael Sonnen is just going to wrestle him. Tito Ortiz beat him because he's a better wrestler.
I think Wanderlei can stand his own. I think he can block the takedown. He hit Chael with an elbow.
It's just so much freaking spectacle. But storyline too, man. It goes back to freaking Tough 3 Brazil,
Brashy,
where they were supposed to fight each other, and then Wanderlei Silva ran from USADA, and then Chael Sonnen freaking tested positive, and that was going to be the last fight. Well, not his last fight, but that was going to be the last fight before he tested positive and then left the UFC. That's when he left UFC Tonight and went over to ESPN. I mean, there is a huge storyline behind this, but it's spectacle now. I mean, yeah, it finishes the storyline, but this fight 5 years ago or 4 years ago would have been a lot bigger deal than it is now.
Yep.
Do you think it's big enough to be on pay-per-view after Chael Sonnen lost to Tito Ortiz?
Apart from Fedor, what else does Bellator have?
Madison Square Garden.
Apart from Fedor, what else does Bellator really have that you would pay for pay-per-view? And Fedor's last fight was not stellar. So, I mean, what else?
And he dropped with Matt Mitrione because Mitrione with his kidney stones.
They got lined up again. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would not pay for any Bellator pay-per-view.
Okay. There it is. I was going to say if you had to pay for one, like gun to your head.
If I had to pay for one, gun to my head, I would take Chael Sonnen, Wanderlei Silva. That's easy. Rampage Jackson, King Mo. I would take Ryan Bader, Phil Davis 2, And then I would take Michael Chandler versus Ben Henderson again, because they just fought and it was a really good fight. And then one of the Lima brothers, whatever one's the better fighter, I would take him on that card. Paul Strauss versus, you know, the
one-off fight you had to pay for.
Were you impressed that I could name that many people?
Yes, I was actually very impressed. Yeah. Yes, I was.
I actually impressed myself. One-off fight that I had to pay for pay-per-view, Kimbo Slice's hologram versus Data 5000.
Fair. How much paying?
$20.
Mine is the Chael Sonnen Vanderlei fight. That's more interesting to me. I mean,
so Vanderlei, Tito or Chael? If it was Tito instead of Vanderlei, would you pay for the pay per view?
No.
So it has to be Vanderlei.
I might have paid for it after the promo that they cut for.
Yeah, they did well.
The Tito Chael fight.
Bellator's spectacle and presentation is above and beyond better than UFC's. Mm-hmm. Their walkouts are better. Their promos are better. Other than Joe Rogan being like. Joe Rogan's breakdowns of what they do and Dan Hardy, their staff is better at the UFC, but their promos are much better at Bellator.
Most people on Reddit are better than the UFC.
What is the guy that makes the posters? There's an MMA site, and I can't remember. Boss Logic. So if you don't follow Boss Logic, go check him out. He makes promo posters that are much better, above and beyond anything that the UFC makes. I think WSOF or Bellator may have just hired him. Because his promo posters are better than anything that I've seen in the UFC for a long time.
Is it Boss, as in Boz Rutten, or is
B-O-S-S.
Damn it.
Boss Logic.
I'd be more cool with it if it was Boz Rutten Logic, but Boz Logic.
I kind of understand where the UFC's coming from, where they use like a stock template in the background and they can just throw the images over, and that way they can do it really quick and it's super fast. And I mean, if they announce a fight, they can just create it fast and it doesn't have to leak. Like, they have control over it. We did the same thing at EA, right? We would have a normal background that you could throw images, approved images over, and then you could use them immediately.
And it was much faster. I don't know what any of that means. I don't understand. What do you mean template?
Template. So you know how there's a black background with the yellow.
Oh,
numbers.
You're meaning the poster. I was thinking the trailer. Sorry. There's a guy on Reddit that does trailers too. They're way better than the UFC's. And I was like, "There's what do you mean black?"
Sorry, no. I was talking just the images.
You were right. Your train of thought was good.
Just the images. The videos I don't watch so much because when people are like, "Hey, I put together a highlight video," I'm like, "Nope, not gonna watch it." There's just
not the highlight videos. They do promos like there was the Khabib Ferguson one. They're better than the UFC, and they actually they're a trailer like the UFC would do that you would watch. They're just better. Like, they put in the Joe Rogan thing. They just don't monetize the video. They're better. Like, they give you a better scope.
I watched one for Nate Connor, too. That was really good.
There's one guy that does it. I'll have to look up his name and give him a shout-out, too, because, like, people are always begging in the comments for the UFC to hire him, which UFC doesn't give a shit. But, I mean, they're asking for it.
One FC ended up hiring Zombie Profit to do their gifts because he does them so quick. Speaking of that, talking about Bellator, talking about the pay-per-view card, and you're right. I mean, they'll fill this in underneath it, and it'll be good. I'm sure that Bader will get on this card. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, going back to your original question that we started on, not to go back to it, but
I
just
don't even
to
remember what it was.
It was the free cards versus pay-per-view cards.
Yeah.
The most memorable cards that I've had have been pay-per-view cards. And I would err on the side of the product, the paying for the product. Usually it's hard to beat free, but usually when you are paying for something, they try to make it a little bit better. It used to be way better though, to be clear, but it,
where there was at least two title fights or whatever, but that's the thing as well. Like, it's also the ambiance around it. When it's a pay-per-view, you're there with all your buddies, you're barbecuing, you've put money on it. Like, everyone's somewhat more invested. When we watch a free card, a lot of times you and I are texting back and forth. We're watching it from our own houses. Like, it's a whole different thing. This London card, if there would have been a group of people together, it would have been a really good main card to like cheer and yell and whatever. But there's no investment in some of these names. Whereas, you know, people are polarized between Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor. People are polarized between Anderson Silva and X other person. People are polarized between Chael Sonnen and Vanderlei Silva. So it's different. there's, like you said, there's a lead up, there's a story, there's years and years of investment of watching these people's career grow, as opposed to watching, you know, UFC London, where it's Manawa, who's been around for a while and has done well, or Brad Pickett, you know, where people were getting emotional about his last fight. It's very different than, you know, a Cormier or a Jones or a GSP or a Bisping, a McGregor, whoever else it is. Ferguson and Khabib, there's much more investment, like emotional investment in those guys. And so those pay-per-views end up meaning more because there's a personal investment.
Well, I think overall they're just a better product too. Like even on the lower cards and things like that, I think generally speaking they're going to be better. But with that being said, for all of, like, I think the people that listen to the podcast, they're usually diehards. The reason we always tell the story about the guy in Vegas that was like, you know who the best up and coming fighter is? And we both said John Jones. This was way before he had the belt.
This is Rashad Rampage.
Yeah, and he goes, John Jones. like we didn't even say it. Like he had his cocked, locked, and loaded. The reason why we were able to answer that is because of the investment that we put into those, the crappier cards. And it's not even just that John Jones incident. It's really all of them. The Chris Weidman, when he was on like Fuel 2 against Mark Munoz, that's when I knew he would be champion.
Conor McGregor, when he beat Diego Brandao. I mean.
Or even Seaver, Dennis Seaver. That was a free card. That was the Germany card, right?
Yeah, but I mean, he beat Brandao before that.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying, like, all of that lead up. It's just,
yeah.
For the diehards, I'm still not going to say, hey, you should watch this over this.
Francis Ngannou, man.
Oh, guess what? He supports.
Proud to be a Gooner.
He's an Arsenal fan. He's an Arsenal fan.
Come on, City. Come on, City. Tied with Liverpool. Come on, City.
Better than losing to West Brom.
Yeah, it is.
Was it West Brom?
I don't know who it was. But you're going to get pulled into soccer. There goes Carson, guys. He's going to get pulled into freaking soccer videos now. Not be here the rest of the podcast. Oh, man. But Francis Ngannou. We talk about this all the time. Freaking West Brom. Twitter, the community was like, oh, man, you got to watch this dude. He fought freaking Blades. And every time I watch Blades now, too, Curtis Blades, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember this kid. And when he finally moves his way up, it's going to be awesome. And speaking of heavyweights, they've got Mark Hunt versus Derek Lewis being targeted for UFC New Zealand on June 11th.
See, so the thing is I wouldn't say to diehards, like, you should prioritize the paid cards for the free cards. Like, you shouldn't. I mean, you should technically, because that is the culmination. But we're the ones that tell the narrative to other people.
I don't think any diehard MMA fans pay for pay-per-views anymore.
That's kind of regardless. I mean, I don't care one way or another. But I'm just
changes,
saying.
I mean, it changes a lot when you know you can get it for free.
I mean, we watched them a lot before we ever got them for free.
We'd buy about once a month, but when they're doing two pay-per-views a month.
I always had somewhere that I was buying them and putting money towards them. Always.
I guess when it was $5.
Okay. What I'm saying is I wouldn't say you prioritize one over the other because we're the ones that give the narratives to the casual fans. So, but if they're like, well, who's this Conor McGregor guy? Why is he getting so popular? Why? It was like, well, he's done this. He beat Brandao emphatically. He beat Seaver emphatically. Or John Jones. He destroyed Matt Hamill. Chris Weidman destroyed Mark Munoz. And so you tell these people these things. And that's kind of our job. That's why we watch all of them, because we kind of get off to a certain extent being the know-it-alls. So you watch all of them. Just give me MMA.
Being the dudes that can sit down at a card and be like, this is why you should be invested. Like when Paul says, why should I care about this fight? And we're like, oh man, this is why this fight's good. The winner of this fight most likely is one fight away from the title. The winner of this fight most likely is going to get a title shot or whatever it is. Or the winner of this fight is well on his way to being the best in the light heavyweight division because there's not that much of depth. Do you think it's a big deal that Ryan Bader has signed? Well, let's go back. Ah, man. You want to talk about Mark Hunt, Derek Lewis, or Ryan Bader first?
Either. I love both things.
Ryan Bader signing to Bellator.
What's the question?
What's your opinion? Is it a big deal? Does it matter? Does it take away from the UFC? Does it add to Bellator?
It is not a big deal for the UFC. It's the exact same thing that's going to happen with Rory McDonald. They'll both be back there eventually. It is a big deal for Bellator. It is a big deal for Ryan Bader. Ryan Bader will get paid more, and he can renegotiate his contract when he comes back to the UFC. Bellator, it's another name for him that's already established by Daddy.
Where do you think Bellator is getting all of their money from? Viacom?
Yeah.
But Viacom didn't seem to like MMA. Like,
well, I don't...
Someone is investing enough in it. Like, the thing is that Viacom has Viacom money, and obviously the UFC now has their WME IMG money, but Bellator is taking all of the mid-tier, like, number four fighters.
I could be wrong. I just don't think they're far and away paying them more. I think just the sponsorships money is enticing. But with that being said, they still have their own sponsors that they're getting their money from. Where they're getting their money, I don't know. They still had some of the biggest in their demographic, some of the biggest cards last year, maybe two of the biggest cards. You know, it's like,
yeah,
they're not completely out of the running.
So do you think WME gets rid of Reebok to bring fighters back, or do you think they stick with the uniforms?
I think we're in for uniforms forever. I just don't think it's Reebok.
Well, yeah, I mean, Under Armour, Nike, any of those other ones would pay a ton more.
Mm-hmm.
But
Reebok's going to try to throw money at them and be like, well, now we'll do this for you.
We'll give $10,000 per fight instead of just $5,000.
And
we've got all of our CrossFit money.
Well, I think it's more now. It's like they were there first. They got a good deal for the $80 million or whatever the hell it was. Mm. And then when WME got bought, now they got in on the ground floor, really, but now they have to pay more. They'll probably double their bid or something like that. And they'll just be like, somebody will come in and be like, because it's like the Durant thing where I think it was Under Armour that came in and was trying to get Durant, and Nike came way over the top and was like, no. This is your paycheck now, and it's, you just can't compete with Nike, Adidas. You can't compete with them.
I can't wait for that day when these guys actually get sponsorship money back, because Bellator, I'm glad that they're there to take these guys and pay the ones that are willing to walk away what they deserve or what they feel like they deserve, and they can get sponsorship money. Ryan Bader's not out of his prime. I mean, he was a fight away from a title shot. I don't think the UFC liked him. I mean, Dana White didn't seem to baby him like he did other people. He seemed to make things more difficult for him than he did, say, like an Anthony Johnson or some of those other dudes. Like, Glover Teixeira got a title shot, and Ryan Bader never got one.
Do you really feel like he deserved one?
Yeah. I think right after, who did he lose to? Anthony Johnson. He could have had a title shot. He was on a 5-fight winning streak before he lost to Anthony Johnson. And Anthony Johnson had just lost to Daniel Cormier. He could have easily stepped up and taken a title fight.
Before he lost to Anthony Johnson, the problem was he didn't fight from January to October.
But he was on a 5-fight winning streak in the light heavyweight division, which is huge. And I don't have any stats in front of me. Tell me I'm right. 5 fights?
You're right. Yeah.
I like Ryan Bader. That's also the thing too.
I don't know that he has. I mean, of course. I mean, Glover got it before him because Glover beat him.
But who else has a 5-fight winning streak in the freaking light heavyweight division and doesn't get a title shot?
I mean, it's all. I get what you're saying.
Gustafson got a title shot off of a loss. Johnson only had to beat Bader.
Well, wait a minute. Glover got the shot because he beat Bader.
Yeah.
So
Bader wins, I guess, technically gets the shot. But Bader lost to Jones pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why he didn't get that title shot again. But I would have liked to see Bader against Cormier. They're both wrestlers. Cormier is not going to be able to take down Bader at will. Maybe.
Yes, it's
Olympic style versus D1. Yeah. But, I mean, Ryan Bader beat Phil Davis, and Phil Davis was like a top-level wrestler as well.
Split decision.
But he out-wrestled him. That's how he beat him, by a split. And that's where they're saying that he's going over to Bellator so he can get Phil Davis versus Bader 2, which really is a boring fight. I mean, it's like John Fitch versus Jake Shields. That fight sucked in WSOF. And remember how I was like, I'm actually excited about this because it's going to be a jiu-jitsu match. No, it wasn't.
Jiu-jitsu.
So, yeah.
Found out today studying to tell people that Meryl Streep was wrong. It was originally called jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu. J-U-J-U-T-S-U in what? Japan.
Interesting.
And then when it went to Brazil, it's jiu-jitsu.
I did not know that.
Me either. I could be wrong on that. Somebody's going to fact check that and be like, no.
I mean, I like Bader. I think he beats Rampage. I think he beats King Mo. I think he beats Phil Davis. I think he wins the belt. I think he beats Liam McGeary, man. I think he gets the belt at 205.
The thing, just going back to the five-fight win streak, I just don't think there's really anything too impressive there.
Who'd he beat?
Anthony Perosh. Unanimous decision in December 2013. Took him 6 months to get another fight against Rafael Cavalcante. Unanimous decision, June 2014.
Because he started wrestling because he got knocked out.
And then he did, and I remember Dana White specifically talking about this, and maybe this is to your point where he didn't baby him. And then OSP, he beat him in August 2014, so there was a quick turnaround there. So that one was a good. And then he did not fight again until January where he split decision Phil Davis. And then he didn't fight again until October, where he beat Rashad Evans. And then his title shot coming up was Anthony Johnson, and he got knocked out.
Yeah, and I guess Rashad Evans wasn't that great back then. I mean, but yeah. It is what it is. I like Ryan Bader, and he did fight on his way up. He fought the best of the best, and he was undefeated for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Not the best of the best, but when he got to 10-0 or 11-0, before he was undefeated going in against John Jones.
Yeah, I have no ill will towards him. Like, I hope him the best in Bellator. I've always liked him, but I don't think that he was slighted by the UFC by way of not getting a title. He was always right on the doorstep, and it's kind of like he's kind of like Kenny Florian, but one step before Kenny Florian, or Faber for that matter.
Michael Bisping.
Well, he got his title shot.
Well, he finally did, but he was in the UFC for 10 years before he got his title shot.
And I'm sure, did he string any, five win streaks together? I'm sure that...
Bisping, probably when he first came in, before he lost to Henderson, he was undefeated.
And
then when he lost to Henderson, it started him all over. But he lost to Tim Kennedy, he lost to Luke Rockhold. I mean, Michael Bisping lost to worse people than I think Ryan Bader did.
Yeah, he's been pretty spotty.
Yep. Yeah, and Ryan Bader, other than Tito Ortiz and Glover Teixeira, has not been. He's actually performed very well. Do you think he wins the belt in Bellator? I think Liam McGarry's the current champion. He's got no wrestling, but he's a great striker.
I don't know. I would love to see him get. I'd love to see him get cold.
Does it matter though if he does?
I like to see him be successful. Like you said, I like agree him.
With that.
And then if he comes back over to the UFC and he's got some chops and, you know, it's easier to get into a title fight quicker. You get more difficult fights sooner when you come back over. It's a big deal that you're making the jump back over. And if you can probably just string 2-3 fights together, you're probably at a title fight.
I can agree with that. So let's move on real quick. Mark Hunt versus Derek Lewis. What do you think about that fight?
Love it.
I think it's awesome. A lot of people are saying that means that Alistair Overeem will most likely fight Francis Ngannou. What do you think about that fight?
Love that fight.
That would be... I think that fight proves that Ngannou is where he needs to be, but Overeem also isn't who he used to be either.
Derek Lewis, he's always fighting overseas, isn't he? Didn't he just fight... Didn't he just travel again? I thought his one request is that he didn't go overseas, but now this one's going to be New Zealand, right?
This is in June. He said he wanted to take a couple months off, so I guess they give him that. I don't think he said anything about traveling, because I think his last one was in Brooklyn or something like that.
Halifax.
Buffalo? Halifax.
And then he was in Albany.
Oh, because of the snow. He complained about the snow. That's what it was. He said, Halifax, I don't know what's going on with all this snow. I want to go back to Houston, where I'm from.
Halifax, Albany, Vegas, Zagreb, Vegas. Yeah, Houston. Nothing too crazy.
So Zagreb is the... And his Zagreb fight wasn't very good. I honestly would give this to Mark Hunt.
It wasn't? He knocked out Gabriel Gonzaga.
Oh, no, I was thinking his Albany card. That's the one I was thinking of.
He knocked out Shamil, name I can't pronounce.
Yeah, but that was the third round, right?
I thought his Roy Nelson fight was one that wasn't good. That was the split decision.
That was also pretty bad.
Other than that, all knockouts. Holy hell.
Yeah, the one against the Russian dude.
Oh, my gosh, this guy. Yeah, I'm excited. I would really like to see him versus Big Country again.
I don't think his fight style sits well with Mark Hunt. I think Mark Hunt beats him.
I really want to see him versus Ngannou.
If this fight does not, Derek Lewis versus Ngannou, I think Ngannou's got him because he's faster.
I do too, but I would like to see. Well, that's what I thought of Overeem. I thought Overeem was just going to outspeed him to death. Travis Brown, not Overeem.
Yeah.
And
he did it first.
But
Travis Brown was kicking his ass first round.
I would like to see Ngannou versus Derek Lewis.
And then I think he got a little overconfident. Two more things I want to discuss. First is Nate Diaz saying that he's only been offered one fight by Dana White, and Dana White coming out and saying that Nate Diaz doesn't want another fight before him and Connor's fight.
Just start screenshotting stuff and just sending it on Twitter or Instagram. Like,
I mean, he did it on Twitter. He said he called Dana a liar straight up.
Take a picture of the. I mean, I guess if it's a voicemail or not a voicemail, but a call. I don't know.
There might be contract. Contracts say you can't talk about contracts until they're signed or whatever.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess people say sign the contract all the time. Contract's in your hands. I signed it. You sign yours. And Khabib did that. He had his signed contract that he was sending, I think, over to Tony, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when all the pricing issues came up. I think Dana White paints himself in a very good light. And people that oppose him, that he trashes them. But I also think the Diaz brothers are delusional a lot of the time. So with that being said, I don't know what to think about it in general. I would assume the UFC are dying to make another Nate Diaz fight. I would assume they would have actually offered him more fights. Now, if it wasn't straight up, maybe it's a middleman like pitching things around to management and stuff like that. But I highly doubt it's just one fight.
It's got to be top five. I think someone said something about him fighting Eddie Alvarez. Obviously not going to happen now because Eddie Alvarez is signed. But I would like to watch Nate Diaz versus Alvarez. I think that would be fun. Nate Diaz, RDA, even though RDA already trashed him. Nate Diaz versus Michael Johnson.
Pretty much that whole division's fought everybody.
Yeah.
I would like to see him versus Edson Barboza.
That would be a good one, too.
I'm really interested how he would handle that and how Barboza would handle it because he would... I feel like he would eat his kicks, and he kind of saw McGregor's kicks. I don't know.
Yeah, but he didn't expect McGregor to kick. He's going to expect Barboza to kick. It's interesting, man. So I have two more questions, and the last one's nowhere near as important. Fedor versus Matt Mitrione, you mentioned, is Bellator 180. Have you seen this USADA mistake? Did USADA mistake Tom Lawler for... Robbie Lawler? Did you see it?
This is like, did the Titanic...
Yeah. Wow, no, this is actually... It's a little bit funnier than that. So Tom Lawler posts on Twitter, "Hey, USA anti-doping, what's up with this? Wonder why I'm getting this email, makes me wonder." And it says, "Hello, Robbie. You are receiving this email because our records show that you have started the process of completing your quarter two whereabouts, but they have not been submitted. If you feel as though you completed your whereabouts, please log back into the UFCathlete.usada.org and make sure you hit the submit button. Otherwise, if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to reach out to us." So this is a big deal for all of those that don't know or don't know who Tom Lawler is outside of like the diehards. Tom Lawler has been in the UFC since like UFC 5, I think, with Ryan Bader. He's been around for forever. Never been busted for anything. And then all of a sudden after his last fight, which... may have been his retirement fight or one of the last ones, he went almost a year without fighting, and then USADA pinged him and was like, "Hey, during your last fight, you pinged hot for this certain substance." And he was like, "I never took anything. I don't know how this could have happened. I'm really, really confused. Everyone just, you know, believe me. I never did this. It doesn't make any sense." But then he just accepted his terms. I don't think he fought against it or anything like that. Maybe for legal ramifications, or he didn't have money to fight it, or who knows what. And then he receives an email that's addressed to Robbie Lawler talking about, and I mean, this just says Q2 whereabouts. This doesn't say anything about like your piss test or anything else. It says, where were you doing Q2? And I mean, if it's this year Q2, which hasn't happened yet, Robbie Lawler's not fighting anyway. But if it was last year during Q2, that's when his last fight was against Tyron Woodley, I believe.
This is the Orange County Shane Brumder versus Sean Brander scenario. wrong transcript.
You've got the wrong twin.
You sent the wrong transcripts? I did not. Yes, you did. This is nobody's fault. This is your fault. Have you ever seen the Orange County?
No.
You need to watch it.
Oh, Orange County. Yeah, I have.
Not the OC, Orange County.
No, yeah, Orange County, the movie with Jack Black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have seen it. I just completely forgot about it. So what do you think about this? Conspiracy theory? Do you think they sent it? Like, what do you think actually happened? Tyron Woodley, so this is July 30th, right? So they fought in July. So even if it was Q2 of last year, January, February, March is usually Q1. April, May, June. Yeah, this could have been Q2. But I highly doubt they would make that big of a mistake. Pinging somebody with birthday and name and everything with the wrong drug test. I mean, think about when you go to the hospital. You put a little badge on. You put a little freaking bracelet on. And all they do is read your birthday, and they check your birthday every time before you go into anything.
It's probably, I mean, I don't know if he did anything, but it's probably a get-out-of-jail-free card at this point if they're making that kind of mistake, whether or not he did do it or whether or not they messed up the sample. But, yeah, I don't think they probably messed up the sample, whatever the hell happened. Maybe they did.
I mean, it's not like they fought on the same card. It's not like they were drug tested at the same time in the same place. You know what I mean? It's not like, yeah, I understand to a point where it's like, oh, they sent me the wrong email. I mean, there's only two Lawlers in the UFC, but it kind of proves how insignificant Tom Lawler is, that someone forgot who he is. And
how could you forget the filthy?
The filthy Tom Lawler. I mean, it's funny to think about. It's really funny to be like, yeah, I mean, it does give him a get-out-of-jail-free card. Like, I didn't do it. It was my evil twin, Robbie.
Well, and it's also just like he can just start putting it back on them. Look at this email they sent me.
Yeah.
How do we know that it was my blah, 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 blah? It doesn't give you a lot of confidence with them if they can't even get the email right, though.
No, it doesn't. What? I think about it, man. I work with a lot of people that go by usernames and then go by real names. And we have Lukes and Lucases and all kinds of stuff. And I've accidentally sent the wrong emails to wrong people before.
That's just way different, in my opinion, because you're
because someone has been pinged and for a career-ending
not to
drug
demean
use.
No, you're not demeaning me at all.
No, it's very different.
That's serious too, though. It is still somebody's livelihood, but it's also their medical history.
Yeah.
You're accusing them of a banned substance. This, like I said, yours.
He could technically sue if the wrong medical records were released to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree with you. No, it's very different than my job.
It could very possibly start getting into HIPAA violations.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's funny, but it's also serious at the same time. Like, you can't be at, like, there's already been so many accusations about it not being a very good setup so far. Like Mark Hunt, like they let Brock Lesnar through. Mm-hmm. Part of that's UFC, part of it's USADA. And
somehow John Jones wasn't able to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all weird.
Stupid.
It's very weird.
I don't think it looks good for them. They need to get that handled.
I definitely agree. It definitely makes it look like it's amateur and they're supposed to represent the entire sport and the entire United States.
One of his nicknames, by the way, is the other McGregor. So, I mean, it could start getting into where we're getting Conor McGregor knocked off cards and not being able to fight Floyd. There's so many things that could go into that. Like, you got to start getting careful.
Who's supposed to be the other McGregor?
I don't know. I just saw it in the Wikipedia page for Filthy. It said one of his nicknames, Filthy Tom Lawler, and then the other McGregor.
That's so dumb. Quick question. Do you remember the first fight between Miesha Tate and Kat Zingano?
No.
Kat Zingano won, but there was like a full out brawl between Miesha Tate and Kat Zingano.
I don't think I actually saw it.
It's super good. If you have not seen it, long time ago, 4 or 5 years ago, it was before Miesha Tate fought. I was right after Miesha Tate had lost to Ronda Rousey, and whoever won that fight was supposed to get another title shot at Ronda Rousey. Kat Zingano won and then got trounced by Ronda Rousey in like 35 seconds. So Miesha Tate is saying that she would unretire to fight Kat Zingano. And quotations here, "I was dominating that fight and the stoppage was always irritated me. Broken bloody noses happen in the sport and it's not a reason to stop a fight." I was going to ask you if you'd be interested in Miesha Tate coming unretired to fight Kat Zingano. But
yeah, if she'll sign a two-fighter so that Holly Holm gets her redo.
That's a good point. I'd watch that again, too.
It's actually a good fight. But, I mean, you can't start doing that. Like, I mean, if she wants to make money, that is a fight she wants to get back, and everybody's on board, I guess. But, like, I don't really care to see it, if that's the question. I don't care.
I would like to see those two fight again just because Kat Zingano, I think, even though everyone loves her, I don't think her career is going too much farther.
I'm not clamoring for it.
No.
That's my only thing. It's, but like, if it happens,
it's your
it happens.
Story. Storyline.
But with no possibility of spectacle. That's my favorite thing is narrative leading into spectacle. I highly doubt that it's going to really wow us or even move the narrative. Not only is the narrative good from what it was, it's also what it could lead to be. If it's going to be a one-off fight, then there's really no narrative there, in my opinion. The narrative's not just what happened before. The implications.
You know, if I think that they could end up both retiring, that makes me salivate.
Did you get the 401k sheets to them?
Yeah, my pants are a little bit tighter if they both retire. So talking about Bellator, just to finish this up, lastly, Wanderlei Silva, Chael Sonnen, Fedor, Matt Mitrione, most likely on the same card, Bader calls out Phil Davis for the Madison Square Garden card. So if King Mo and Rampage were on that, but they're on a different card, that basically would have been almost the exact same card that I just walked through about who I'd like to see fight. Throw Henderson Chandler 2 on there and Daniel Strauss or freaking Liam McGarry, the light heavyweight champion, on that card too, and that is an actual pay-per-view card.
On the back of the UFC's work.
On the back of the UFC's work. I don't think that Chael Vandalay is the headliner, but Bellator loves to put those.
Fedor is.
Loves to put those freaking Ken Shamrock.
Fedor Royce would not Gracie sign. Cards. Wouldn't sign if the contract for that day, if he wasn't the headliner.
Fedor's co-main.
Who's the headliner?
Chael Sonnen and Wanderlei Silva.
Oh, so it is.
Yep.
Oh. Wow.
Fedor Emelianenko versus Matt Mitrione to co-headline Bellator. Just like freaking Cub Swanson, Artem Lobov freaking headlining over, who is it, Damian Maia, Jorge Masvidal. What in the hell is that? That's worse than Chael Sonnen.
Or Miesha Tate versus Amanda Nunes and over Anderson Silva. And
well, that's just because it was a belt and you have to, you kind of have to.
They had
do
set
that.
The precedence before. They don't have to make the belt the main card.
The RMMA pound for pound rankings are Nate Diaz. GSP, GSP, Nate Diaz.
Is that who they're loving these days?
I don't know. He's yelling, "Where you at, George?" And then it's him flexing, and then GSP smiling twice. It's actually pretty damn funny.
Are they on to liking Cormier yet?
No, they'll never like Cormier.
Don't say that. There's going to be one guy be like, "You know what? I like when he did this," and then everybody's going to jump onto the jock, and everybody like that. That thing is so hive mentality.
Oh, yeah. The internet is, man. We were discussing today whether the amount of Twitch comments should be taken into analytics that we get back to brands. And I was like, no. Twitch comments don't mean anything because it's all hive mentality. If one person says sell out or take off your shirt or whatever, everyone just repeats it because it's a freaking hive mentality.
Brought to you by Nestle.
Brian, dude, you want some chocolate milk?
Brought to you by Nestle.
Nestle. And with that, we bid you guys adieu.
We do.
Thanks for listening.
You guys are cool.
Talk to us on Twitter. Subscribe. Tell all your friends.
Bye. Bye-bye.